Hello and welcome to the Program Your Life podcast. Come with me on a journey of self-exploration, overcoming obstacles, and learning to believe in yourself. I'm your host, Joe Parker. Join me and my beautiful wife, Kimberly, as we explore what it takes to achieve our dreams, overcome our fears and doubts, and have some fun along the way. It's sure to be a roller coaster ride, and we are happy to share it with you. Now stay tuned for an exciting episode of the Program Your Life podcast. Hello and welcome to the Program Your Life podcast. I'm Joe Parker, and I'm so glad to be able to share with you some of the people and ideas that have helped Kimberly and I in our growth and our personal development journey. And one of the things that I did along the way is I met somebody named Rita Solman, and I did an interview with her on another podcast. But one of the things she did is she assigned me to read a book. She said it had been impactful for her, and she recommended it to me. It was called Forgive to Win. And it's a small little book. I got out my Kindle app. I found it on there, and I think it was under $10 to buy. I downloaded it and started reading. And within the first chapter, I could already tell this was going to be an impactful book. It just really resonated with me. And, you know, sometimes when an idea strikes you just right, you can tell that this is something that is really meaningful. So that was really cool. And as a matter of fact, it's such a good book that Kimberly and I are rereading it right now. One of the things that we like to do is read a book together. So we'll take turns reading chapters, and then if something comes up that we're interested in, we'll stop. We'll talk about it. We'll see how it affects our lives, that kind of thing. And we're doing that now, and she's really loving it. Anyway, I'm really happy to say that I have the author of that book on the podcast today, and his name is Walter Jacobson. So let me give Walter Jacobson's bio. He is actually a doctor. He's a graduate of Cornell University, the Medical College of Wisconsin, and the UCLA San Fernando Valley Psychiatric Residence Program. He's a board-certified psychiatrist who specializes in cognitive behavior therapy, couples therapy, and past life regression therapy. In addition, he is a best-selling author of Forgive to Win and Einstein's Cosmic Theory. And he's a motivational and inspirational speaker. His YouTube videos and his blogs on his website, walterjacobsonmd.com, offer people spiritual techniques and cognitive tools for achieving happiness, physical well-being, and success in all areas of their lives. So, welcome to the program, Walter.
Hey, thanks, Joe. Good to be here.
Yeah. Well, hey, when I was reading the book, like I said, it was really fascinated, and I didn't actually end up doing the 90-day challenge that you said, but I still found it to be very impactful, and I remembered it for a long time. And I was talking about it with Rita, and that's kind of how your name came up, and we decided to do this interview. But let me ask you this. How did you discover the concepts in that book? And how did that lead to you writing that book?
Okay, mainly this evolved from my practice, my psychiatric practice. It seemed to me that a lot of people were coming to me with depression, anxiety, anger issues. Their lives weren't working out the way they wanted, and they weren't really happy. And I discovered that, for the most part, people get in their own way. They sabotage themselves. They have things they'd like to do, they know they should do, but they don't do them. And so they actually cause their lives to be frustrating and unhappy, and they don't maximize all their opportunities and potentials. And I realized that it really came down to a lot of times people's resentments and judgments and grievances that then sort of get in the way. And so I started to think about, well, if people sabotage themselves, why would they do that? If people, you know, it can only be, sabotage is basically a form of attack. You're attacking yourself. You say you want to, like, diet and exercise, and then you don't. And so you're really subverting yourself. You're attacking yourself. Well, if you must not like yourself, because if you liked yourself, you would reward yourself. You would do positive things. You would, things that made you feel happy. So if you're doing things that get in your way, and you're blocking yourself, and you're doing things that cause you to be unhappy, the premise is, on some deep unconscious level, you don't like yourself. On some deep unconscious level, there's guilt, there's shame, there's self-loathing, and that this leads to self-sabotaging behaviors that get in your way. And from that came the conclusion, well, if not liking yourself and having guilt and shame is what's causing you to get in your way and block happiness, health, relationship benefits, etc., then the key is you got to learn how to love yourself, and you got to learn how to forgive yourself. And so that led to the whole thing, okay, forgive to win. Teach people how to forgive themselves, how to love themselves, and they will end the self-sabotaging behaviors, because now they'll feel they're worthy and good enough, and their subconscious mind won't sabotage themselves and block the things that they want to get and achieve.
Yeah, and actually I found that after I read the book, the thing about judgment that is part of the book is you talk about how when we judge others, we judge ourselves. I found that to be really a key. And right away, you know, I was noticing all the judgments that I was having, you know, as I walk around and you know, I see people on the street. I mean, it's just one of those things that a lot of people do. I certainly do. I naturally come to judgments as I'm looking at, you know, people and situations. Of course, your premise is you're projecting onto them judgments of yourself. So every time you judge them, you're judging yourself. Isn't that true?
Yeah. That ties into how do you forgive yourself and love yourself? You got to forgive and love others. And it's based upon the premise, as you're saying, of that when we judge people and we point the finger at them and we basically attack them with our judgments, what we're really doing is projecting all the dark garbage, the judgments we have of ourselves at a deep unconscious level. So it's a defense mechanism to make us feel better about ourselves. We will take all of this harsh judgment of ourselves, the self-loathing of ourselves, and we'll project it outward and see it in other people and attack and blame and judge other people. And it's a way of kind of discharging tension and anxiety, but actually it's just sweeping the problem under the rug. You're not really healing yourself or getting better. So the point being, if that's what you're doing, when you're judging others, you're projecting all your self-loathing onto them. Well, then, when you love others and forgive others, you're essentially healing your projections. You're loving and forgiving yourself. And that's the beauty of it, because a lot of forgiveness books, they talk about, well, you can't forgive and love others until you first forgive and love yourself. And my premise is the exact opposite. The way you're going to forgive and love yourself is to forgive and love others, because as you do it, you're actually healing your deeply embedded guilt, shame, and self-loathing. So, yeah, judgments are of the ego. They are a form of attack. They are a way for us to discharge negative energy, but we're really only attacking ourselves when we judge others. So then when we stop judging others, we start accepting, we start being tolerant, we start being loving and forgiving. We're really accepting ourselves, being tolerant of ourselves, loving and forgiving ourselves. And then ultimately, the message we're sending to our subconscious mind, again, is we're worthy, we're good enough, we're lovable, we deserve reward, not punishment. And the subconscious mind works with us to stop our self-sabotaging behaviors.
Now, that's interesting about forgiving ourselves and forgiving others. But see, a lot of people have problems forgiving others. I know a number of people in my family and friends that really hold on to grudges. And I'm sure I do it too, not as much as I know other people do. But what are a few things that people can do when they're having a hard time forgiving others? Because that's not an easy thing for a lot of people.
Yeah, well, the most important thing for people to do when they're having a hard time forgiving others is recognizing why they're having a hard time. For one thing is, you know, they've been hurt, the other person has hurt them, they feel the other person deserves to be punished, and so they use their resentments, their judgments, their unforgiveness as a way to punish the other person. But unfortunately, what you're really doing is punishing yourself, because if you're walking around with a lot of anger and resentment and grievance and bitterness, usually the other person isn't actually losing a whole lot of sleep. You are. You have this dark cloud in your heart, walking around with it. You're full of anger and negativity. So you're really just attacking yourself. So when you have a hard time forgiving others, you got to tell yourself, wait a second, I'm actually only hurting myself by doing this. When you forgive others and release your resentments and bitterness, you're freeing yourself of this emotional prison you've put yourself in. Long after they were victimizing you, your unforgiveness is a form of victimizing yourself. So when you have a hard time forgiving others, you want to recognize, well, wait a second, I'm just shooting myself in the foot if I hang on to my resentments and my anger and my bitterness. So that's one way in which you try to forgive others. Another, there's all sorts of ways. I mean, if you can kind of think about someone did you a wrong, and it was unloving and unkind. If you can try to put in a more humanistic perspective, for example, and try to see, oh, this person had a hard life, or this person was abused as a child, and they don't really understand what love and compassion is, or they're having a difficult time now. They just got lost their job, and they got two kids to feed, and it's a struggle, and so they're not, you know, people regress when they're under stress, and so you try to find ways to understand the things people might have done that makes them behave lesser than they could have. You want to do everything you can to try to humanize people rather than demonize them, to give you a better chance at being able to get over your ego and over your offense and forgive them. You know, if you turn something negative that they did that was hurtful, and if you can turn it into a positive, if you can see some kind of blessing in disguise, some kind of silver lining, that makes it easier to forgive. You know, in general, the big thing, though, is to recognize that if you withhold forgiveness from others, you're withholding forgiveness from yourself. So the key mantra is, I forgive others for my own peace of mind. And I always remind myself of that when I'm hanging on to a resentment, I'm hanging on to a grievance, I'm angry, I remind myself that the anger is hurting me, the unforgiveness is hurting me. I need to release it. I need to let it go. And this isn't about making them feel better. It's not an invitation to be a doormat. Or that's a lot of things people fear, that, well, if I forgive, then it shows I'm weak and I'm a doormat and I'm inviting more abuse. That's not the case at all. Actually, forgiveness is a form of strength, not weakness.
Yeah, actually, you define forgiveness in the book, if I remember right, to give as before. And I found that really interesting because a lot of people think they've forgiven people. However, it doesn't meet the definition of to give as before because they're still holding back a little bit. And I think that was really insightful for me because typically if someone hurts me, I'll say, oh yeah, I forgave them. However, there's still resentment there. I mean, can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, it's the whole idea of people say forgive and forget, but they don't. They don't. They're people who may say, I forgive you, and they say they're letting it go, but they haven't. They're still judging you. They're still wary. They're still perceiving. It's not like a clean slate. They're still seeing through the eyes of judgment and anticipation. They're expecting, oh, maybe I'm going to get hurt again. I can't fully trust this person. These forms of judgments, is not true forgiveness, because forgiveness is the lack of judgment, is the release of judgment, is seeing somebody in the present moment, in the eternal now, free of all judgments, free of the past, free of your past blame and attack. Somebody truly has said, hey, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I really regret it. Then you really need to do the best you can to take them at face value and try to see them in the present moment free of what happened, as if it didn't happen. People say, you can't really forget, because if you forget, you're just going to, repeat the incident. You're going to put yourself into the situation. No, you can still be environmentally aware of danger and of being hurt. But if you can forgive, truly forgive and forget the offense and truly let it go out of sight, out of mind, that's powerful healing.
Right. And that's why I wanted to bring that up, is because I think a lot of people probably don't forgive to the extent necessary to get the healing that you talk about in your book, so they can really truly feel better about themselves. Now, one of the keys to your book also is this thing called the forgiveness diet. And can you go into that a little bit more and talk about what that is?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so the premise is you want to change your behavior. You want to change the way you think, the way you your emotional responses. You want to change your behavioral responses. So what you got to do is, like any habit, you have to practice it. So the forgiveness diet is a form of structural activities, thoughts, behaviors that will reinforce every day this process of letting go of judgment, letting go of attack thoughts, learning how to forgive, learning how to esteem others. So I call it a forgiveness diet because what I've done is I've compared it to a regular diet, and I've broken it down to like spiritual protein, spiritual fat, spiritual sugar, spiritual fiber. So the spiritual protein, the backbone of the diet, is esteemable acts of kindness towards others. Every day, the best you can, without condition or exception, you try to reach out and help other people, and you try to forgive other people as much as you possibly can. That's the protein of the forgiveness diet, and that's what you want to do every day as much as you can. The spiritual fat is the judgments, and you want to have a low spiritual fat in your diet, every daily diet. So that means you let go of your judgments. You catch yourself when you're in a state of grievance and resentment and prejudice, and you let it go. You let go of the spiritual sugar is the things that we do that satisfy us in the immediate moment. They satisfy the ego, but not the soul, you know. So people are sarcastic, and they get a laugh. They play practical jokes, they get a laugh. You know, they gossip, and they ridicule, and they spread rumors. And all of this is spiritual sugar that is really not healthy. So you want to get rid of this on a daily basis. You want to be paying attention to stop these behaviors of jealousies and resentment, and gossiping and ridiculing and sarcasm. And then, of course, the spiritual fiber is moral fiber. You want to do the right thing. You want to tell the truth. You want to be a person of your word. You want to, say what you mean, follow through, do what you say, and that sort of thing. And then we have other parts of this, of the forgiveness diet includes spiritual supplements like affirmations and visualizations and various like mantras and other exercises. So the point is, if you practice this every day, all of these different aspects of the forgiveness diet, and you do it for 90 days, you're going to lock in new behaviors. And such to the degree that at the end of 90 days, you are going to be happier, healthier, wiser, making better choices, doing less self-sabotaging behaviors.
That's great. I think this time around, with my wife and I reading it, we're gonna do the 90-day challenge on it, because I think it's powerful stuff. And I know I want to love myself even more than I do already, because I struggle with that. I mean, it's one of the things that's hardest to get at. I mean, you talk about you can't directly forgive yourself in the book. You have to kind of do it indirectly through other people. So it takes a lot of diligence to get to that point. Hey, you talked about visualization. There's something in the book called the Forgiveness Bridge Visualization. Can you explain that more?
Yeah, the whole thing is, again, all the exercises and visualizations and affirmations in the book, they're all designed to help you to forgive when you're having difficulty forgiving. That's the whole key, is help to make it easier for you to forgive. So the forgiveness diet visualization, this forgiveness bridge, here's the deal. You're having trouble forgiving somebody. What you do is, at night before you go to sleep, perhaps you get quiet, a place where you won't be distracted, you relax yourself, and then you visualize that you're walking in a dark world, and in the distance you see like a beautiful, serene, light, rainbow, heaven, whatever you want to call it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place. But in order to get there, you got to cross this bridge, and the bridge is all full with, you know, rotten wood and metal and corrosive, rusted nails and things. And you see, as you're approaching the bridge, you see this person that you have this resentment and grievance and unforgiveness towards. And that person is trying to get across the bridge, and you can't do it. You can't get across the forgiveness bridge to the land of serenity, peace, joy, etc. You can't get there by yourself. So the only way you can get there is actually by holding the hand of this person you're angry at and resenting and unforgiving, and the two of you together maneuver and get each other across the bridge to this place of paradise. And then when you cross over the bridge, you get over the other side, you're relieved, you're full of joy and bliss and happiness. You're just visualizing this, you're imagining this with as much intensity as you possibly can. And when you get to the other side, then you look at this other person, and now you look at the person from in a whole other light. Now you see that this is your brother, your sister, that who helped you to get to this paradise, to get to this place of inner peace and joy. And if you do this repeatedly, you will see a discharging of the negative feelings you have towards this person, and a greater potential in your real life to be able to forgive them and live with them and cooperate with them in your life. Although you don't have to. You can forgive people and have nothing to do with them. But the forgiveness bridge helps you to let go of unforgiveness.
That's great. Actually, when you were walking through it, I could even kind of feel the power that would have, is having basically to be in an alliance with someone that you are, you know, mad at or upset with. That would really, you know, bring you closer together. So I can see it's a powerful concept. So one of the things that you say in the book is that once you've kind of mastered the forgiveness diet, then it can be changed or transitioned into what you call a success diet. Now, how does that work?
Okay, so what happens is, first, you spend your 90 days really getting the forgiveness down, really getting esteemable acts of kindness down, forgiveness, letting go of judgments, letting go of your resentments and jealousies and all these bad behaviors, living an appropriate life. So you do all that, you get really good at that. Now your subconscious mind is going to stop sabotaging you and is going to help you to be proactive, to attract positive people and circumstances. And so you're in a good place, but now you want to use then the same principles of success. So you figure out what different things you want to do to achieve the success that you want. And then what you do is you start, you know, every night before you go to bed, you think about all the things you want to do the next day that are going to be proactive, that are going to be helpful, that are going to get you to the goal that you want to accomplish. And then every morning you get out of bed and you look at the list of your inventory list of what you want to do, and you have affirmations that are geared towards success, visualizations geared towards success, and this is another way to quicken and accelerate the process of getting whatever goal it is that you want to accomplish.
All right. Well, that sounds good. I can hardly wait to get to that point. I mean, I'm kind of doing it now in different ways. I have, you know, not quite using your technique, but I definitely have techniques that I've been using to, you know, visualize myself, you know, where I want to be. So how can people contact you, or if they want a copy of your book? Do you have any new projects you're working on you want to share with us?
In terms of getting in contact with me, you know, the website, walterjacobsonmd.com, you know, has a whole bunch of videos. That's my main project now is doing videos that are complement to the book. And I'm trying to put out now as many as I possibly can, you know, like two, 3 minutes long, to try to, again, be, you know, affirm, give people techniques, how to effectively communicate with your loved ones, how to repair relationships, you know, how to get rid of toxicity, you know, just how to be positive, that sort of thing. So that's my main thing. You go to the website, you'll see a lot of great videos. You can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble to download the book. It's in Kindle. It's in audio form. It's in the paperback form. And you can certainly contact me at info@walterjacobsonmd.com. If people have any questions about it, I'm glad to, like, respond and help them along the path.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much for being with us on the program today. And I think that you're doing great work, and I think it's powerful stuff. Hope that everyone who's listening will check it out, buy a copy of the book, because you will get amazing results. I truly believe it. So thanks, Walter. Any closing words?
Well, no, I just want to thank you, Joe. And, just to encourage people to replace grievances with forgiveness, acceptance, and love. That's the key.
All right. Thanks, Walter. And to my listeners, thanks for listening to this episode of the Program Your Life podcast, and we'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.
Well, that's our show for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We were so happy to be able to share this episode of the Program Your Life podcast with you. Make sure to check us out at programyourlife.org, where you can always find our podcasts there. We're also going to have the podcasts on iTunes, in the iTunes store under podcasts, and then there'll be some on our YouTube channel. So look for us online, and we will talk to you again very, very soon. Thank you so much to the Program Your Life podcast. Until next time, this is Joe Parker signing off. Bye-bye.